Welcome to Out of Pocket. Here's your host, Michael Davis.
Welcome to Out of Pocket with Michael Davis on Tobacco Road Sports Radio and TobaccoRoadSportsRadio.com. It is your lunch break stop for all the sports action, news, and discussion. In this roundtable, we are sponsored by DraftKings. The wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR, is now live in North Carolina. Now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports anytime, anywhere, right here in North Carolina with DraftKings. For a limited time, new customers who sign up with promo code TOBACCOROAD and bet $5 will receive $250 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings has the best features, including same-game parlays, player props, and more with fast and easy payouts right at your fingertips. We had the race yesterday, but we have March Madness this week. You can bet on game lines. You can bet on money lines. You can bet on parlays such as player threes, player combos, rebounds, assists. We got Wagner and Howard tomorrow, as well as Cornell and Ohio State. Boston College and Providence are some of the other games that you can bet on. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code TOBACCOROAD and bet $5 to get $250 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code TOBACCOROAD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license. And we have a huge show in store for you guys today. We had to bring back Carson from Friday's episode. We get to welcome in first time guest on Out of Pocket. He hosts the Grit and Grind podcast, talking about high school football on the East Coast, Sean Lucas, and then Desmond Johnson is your guy for all the West Coast, North Carolina. We're not really a coast, but the western part of North Carolina with all the stuff he's doing with Tobacco Road Sports Radio. But guys, we had a big weekend in sports, and I cannot help but talk about the ACC tournament finals. I know a certain person on the panel will not be happy with how it concluded.
I'm cool.
But honestly, this was honestly like a flashback to Cardiac Pack, especially when you talk about the semifinal game with NC State hitting that buzzer beater to go into overtime against Virginia when it looked like all hope was lost, down 7 with like a minute to go. And then they went on to beat UNC to win the first ACC tournament since 1987 and Jim Valvano. Sean, it's your first time on the show. Welcome. What was your thoughts on how the ACC tournament finished out?
Well, if you would ask me at the beginning of the tournament, of course, I'm a Duke fan. I'm going to put it out there at the beginning of the show. I had us playing UNC in the finals, but NC State came in, upset us. And pretty much after that, you started watching NC State and you started watching the team that started playing their best basketball each and every game. I mean, when they hit the wild shot and take it overtime with Virginia, you just felt like this team was destined to win the whole thing. I picked them against Carolina. I felt like they had more to win than Carolina. I felt like they came in and did what they had to do, but good way to send out DJ Burns and DJ Horn as seniors with the ACC tournament. The first one in over, 30-some years, since 87. My uncle last night, he's still crying. He's an NC State alumni. He's still crying as of today.
Hey, Sean, I'll leave the math up to you. He said 37 years since the last time it happened. Carson, you were on Friday's show. I don't think you or I expected NC State to go in and beat UNC, but they beat the 1 seed, 2 seed, and 3 seed in the ACC tournament on their way there.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty shocked. You know, just watching from the earlier game of the NC State Duke game, I knew that they were going to give us problems. You know, I don't think that we really matched up super well with them, with us not having a legit rim protector and all. But I thought that UNC would match up pretty well with them. You know, they've got RJ Davis, somebody who you can just give the ball and go get a bucket. They've got Armando Bacot, who is a, you know, he's a pretty good rim protector and he's a big guy. I thought he could match up with DJ Burns, but no, I mean, you know, they went in and the same thing happened to them as what happened to Duke. And I'm glad that Sean on here is a Duke fan. Now we got 3-1 Desmond.
Okay. Like, to be fair, I sat through all of last week. We brought Al Pocket back last Monday, and it was right after Duke lost to UNC, and then after Duke lost to NC State. And it was a horrible week for me in sports. The Cowboys weren't doing anything in free agency, still aren't doing anything.
Snapper. They got a long snapper. What do you mean? I'm that long snapper, though. All in on Dak. They're all in on Dak.
Yeah.
And Dak cleared up $4 million of cap space today by restructuring his deal. I know, right?
Big moves, and big deal.
But Dez, your team did fall short in the ACC tournament. I was actually shocked. I didn't think UNC was losing, but I think NC State just needed to win more, because that was their ticket into the dance, into March Madness. Do you blame anyone on UNC for this loss?
Blame? No. And I got to start this off with, I think people confuse my Facebook and Twitter persona with me, like on the air. Like, they're two completely different people. So like, people come at me on Facebook and then they try to come at me over here the same way. I will flame you over here on Facebook. I'm a completely different like villain over there. So it's fine over there. So don't bring that nonsense over here to the general public. Number two, with UNC, no, I felt like you guys kind of just nailed it there. NC State had to win to keep their season going. Carolina did not. And fun fact, after the last four national championships Carolina has won, they did not win the ACC tournament. They fell short each time. So the years they have won it, they fell short to win the national championship. The last time they won the ACC tournament was 2016. And we know what happened there. Villanova with the last shot at the end to win the national championship. They lose in the ACC tournament, I think semifinals in 2017. They go on to win the national championship. So that was kind of in my head. But to be honest, the main thing, I thought about my Wolfpack friends, like my friends I grew up with, like in grade school, and like guys I still talk to on Facebook, and girls that I know that are NC State fans, that it's a different type of rivalry with Carolina and State than it is Carolina and Duke. And I honestly genuinely felt happy for him at the end of the game. I really did. Like, it just, I could see so many people that had gone through so many close moments of State getting close and not being able to do it. And for the first one to be since 1987, those kids deserved it. DJ Horn deserved it. DJ Burns deserved it. I'm happy for Kevin Keats. That was the first time ever two black coaches have met each other in the ACC tournament final. Like, things like that. I can't really be mad at Carolina losing that kind of game because they fought. And they shot 26% from three-point range. That was pretty much the gist of the game for Carolina. They just kept jacking threes and not being able to hit them. And State hung around and never got tired. So, you know, tip the cap to State. We'll see what they do here going forward because you punched the ticket.
And that's really impressive, especially NC State wasn't expected to win this tournament. I wrote an article for Fans First Sports Network ranking them. And I ranked them 10th. And I was like, this team relies on the DJs. If they're playing well, okay. But, like, It was tough. Shout out to NC State fan Trevor Everett. You know, you can be, you know, commenting on our YouTube channel and your comments can pop up while we're on air. Trevor's also celebrating his anniversary, his wedding anniversary today. And my dad's celebrating his birthday today. So happy birthday, Dad.
Hey.
Appreciate you. It's a big day. Before we move on from State, I'm curious because, like, the way they played in the ACC tournament, it looks like they're hot. How far do you guys think this team can legitimately go in the March Madness bracket tournament? Sean, what's your thoughts?
Honestly, like I said, State, hottest team. Glad Kevin Keats got the win. Extends his contract at least two more years to keep coaching because I honestly believe that I thought he was on the hot seat if they did not make it this year. But for me, second round, they got Kentucky. Sorry, State fans, I think it's over. I think once you get the Big Blue in Kentucky, it's over.
Carson.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I do think they're going to get past Texas Tech, but you know, I just don't think that DJ Burns is reliable enough. And I really do like him. You know, I like his game, but I just don't think that he can hang with the big dogs in the tournament. You know, I think they'll get burned out by the second round.
Burns gets burned out by a second round. Diz.
They're not getting out of the first round. They're gonna lose this first game. Like
they're going to lose.
I don't know what everyone thinks they know about NC State, but I'm not gonna let 5 days in DC dictate what I saw for 3 months across the ACC schedule or whatnot. NC State will revert back to NC State. They will lose. Was it Thursday? They start or Friday?
That game is on the 21st, which is a Thursday.
They will go on by midnight Thursday.
Wow.
You don't think there's anything in momentum? I mean, I think if you go into the tournament as the hottest team, you know, you win 5 out of 5. There's a momentum going there. There's something that the whole team is feeling that I don't think can be overlooked. I really do think that you can win a game off momentum.
I think they already won momentum if they're back to back like they just did, but they're gonna have a whole week before they play again. It's like that momentum is hard to carry over. I hear NFL players talk about it all the time. People think from the outside in that there's momentum or whatever. The players aren't thinking about that. Like they're just literally out there, the ball gets rolled out and they start playing their game and they're playing Texas Tech to open up. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose their first game. They're going to lose to Texas Tech. Texas Tech is a very good team. To think the NC State all of a sudden is going to be able to be a world beater because they beat a watered-down Virginia that can't score over 50 points, a Duke team with no rim protection, and a Carolina team that shot under 30% from three, NC State's going to lose the first game.
So you don't think NC State going to carry that San Antonio Spurs momentum into the first round when Spurs got hot and won the open?
There's no Derek Wittenberg on this team. Like, no. You know what I mean? No. I watched Survive in Advance last night, matter of fact. It put me in the mood to watch it. And I sat there and watched it. And I'm like, yeah, the NC State team was just built different. They were actually good, but Wittenberg got hurt early in the year. This State team has been State all year. Like, they're going to revert back to the mean. They're going to lose this first game. They're going to lose the first game. I'm sorry.
All right. I'll be the only
anyone, really. They're 11 seed.
I'll be the only one who, like, you know, gives State kudos. I say they make it past the first weekend. I say they're out in the Sweet 16. Wow. And
they're going to beat Texas Tech and Kentucky?
If Ooh. Kentucky wins. We've seen these upsets before. It could happen. Now, Dez's reaction right now is just like my reaction when there were a few trades going down after we went off air Friday afternoon. First off, Kenny Pickett was sent away from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia because Kenny Pickett was upset about the Russell Wilson trade, didn't want to be his backup. So now he's going to be Jalen Hurts' backup. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Steelers go and trade for Justin Fields, who looks like Justin Fields is going to be Russell Wilson's backup. And that opens up Chicago to take a quarterback number one overall. Sean, this means that the first two quarterbacks in the 2022 NFL draft just 2 years ago have been traded from their original teams. Does that make Brock Purdy the most successful quarterback of this class?
Oh, hands down. Hands down. Now, Mr. Irrelevant, hands down. Two NFC championship appearances, 21 Super Bowl appearance. Hands down the best quarterback in this draft. Hey, I'm glad we got Pickett. We need a backup because I'm a Philly fan. Mariota decided to go find a different team. But we need a backup for Jalen. Hey, I think Pickett can come in, learn our system, and be a good quarterback to pretty much help Jalen out when we need those times. But hands down, Brock Purdy, best quarterback in this whole draft now.
Now, I invited you on because you're a Duke fan, but you might lose your next invitation because you're an Eagles fan.
That's what you get.
Shouldn't have said that, buddy.
You told the scales. That's exactly what you get.
Carson, what's your thoughts? I think Brock Purdy, once deemed Mr. Irrelevant, is the best quarterback in this class.
Yeah, he is. And I'm not even super high on Brock Purdy. I do think he's become underrated in some people's eyes and overrated in others. It's kind of a weird dynamic there. But yeah, I mean, he's by far the most successful so far. I mean, nobody else can even hold a candle to him in that, right? And I do think he's also the most talented. I love the stuff that he can do with his legs. I think he's got a decent arm talent. He's fairly accurate. He takes care of the ball. So, yeah, I think that he's probably number one in that draft.
And before I have Dez, you know, speak on this matter, I did want to bring up the quarterbacks in that class. Kenny Pickett was the only first rounder. He's been traded to Philadelphia. Desmond Ridder was the next guy taken in the third round. He's been traded to Arizona. Then you have Malik Willis backing up in Tennessee. Matt Corral by the Panthers, who's not on the team anymore. Bailey Zappe from the Patriots. I don't even know if he's on the Patriots anymore. Sam Howell for the Commanders got traded this past week to Seattle. And then you have Chris Olatokun from South Dakota State, Skylar Thompson, and then Mr. Irrelevant, quote unquote, Brock Purdy, who is the only guy who's made a Pro Bowl team on that class. Dez, what's your thoughts on how that panned out?
I mean, to me, just hearing those names, it just tells you that it comes down to being lucky to get drafted to a team that might have a plan for you or someone that can actually mold quarterback talent. Cause a lot of those quarterbacks went to places that didn't have that. Like Bailey Zappi went to the Patriots, but they went through multiple offensive coordinators while he was there and never really had an identity. I think Brock just got lucky going to San Francisco and being in a situation where, oh, look at all these toys. Look at all the stuff I can play with if they put me in. And then he, through attrition, he ends up getting the starting job. And now look at him. So I think it's just a matter of right place, right time. You talked about Justin Fields earlier. Chicago just wasn't the right place for him. I will say this, and I know you're about to hop over to it. Can we give applause to Pittsburgh for what they just did over the past week? They literally brought in a future Hall of Famer, probably, and Russell Wilson, and a top two draft pick from, what, 2 years ago in Justin Fields, all for like $1 million and like a 6-round pick. It's insane. Like, literally, like, and it's insanity. Like, to go from where they were quarterback room 5 months ago to where they are today, and for what they spent to get it, just chef's kiss. Like, that's just, that's amazing to me. Like, that you got Justin Fields for a 6-round pick. You know, it's just, he's not trash. Like, so I don't understand
why he's not
so low.
No, like, no.
And for Pittsburgh to get him for a 6, and then they only have to pay Russell Wilson $1 million, pretty much. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to throw that in there. That's amazing.
I've been outspoken about Justin Fields, and you know, I'm very critical of Justin Fields. I don't see him as a quarterback you can build your team around. But having Russell Wilson there and Russell Wilson being able to play this year on the vet minimum, and the Steelers won't have to give up a fourth, because it's a fourth if Justin Fields has X amount of playing time. Make sure you only give up that 6, and then hopefully you've developed Fields in a year. That's incredible. Derek Pauly was on the show last week. He said, let's hope Wilson has a better year this year. I don't get the trash talk on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson had the fourth best touchdown to interception ratio last year. He was top 10 in passer rating.
It's his personality. That's all it is. Like,
well, you know, you got to watch his tape too. Like, he was kind of a check down king last year. You know, that they ran a lot of check downs. He didn't really elevate the team, and I thought he had pretty. I mean, I like Jerry Jeudy, but yeah,
that team Denver didn't want to follow Russell Wilson, and it goes back to what I was saying. It's
his little personality.
Yeah, let's ride and all that kind of stuff, or whatever. It just rubs people. It sounds not fake, but disingenuous, I guess. Maybe it's the best word to use. That he's trying to fit in some place where he probably will never fit in, but he's trying. Like, I don't know how it's going to work in Pittsburgh. Like, oil and water.
I don't know if Pittsburgh has a catchphrase I can say. He used to say, go Hawks.
He said,
you
let's
say,
go.
Let's ride.
He was like, let's go.
Steelers country, let's weld.
But one thing about this Justin Fields trade, yeah, he's going to Pittsburgh and might back up Russell Wilson, but that opens up. Chicago's taking a quarterback number one overall. You don't trade away Fields without taking a quarterback and believing in one of these prospects. Caleb Williams is there. Drake May is there. Jaden Daniels, the current Heisman Trophy winner, is there. Sean, of those three guys, do you think Chicago takes a chance on one of them, and who is it?
They got to. They don't have a quarterback. I looked at the pool today in the agency, free agency. There's hardly nobody there left that you can go get. They got to take Caleb Williams as their number one pick. Ain't they trade the other pick? Because I thought you could get Caleb Williams, then get Marvin Sun at the wide receiver, build something. But right now they got to go Caleb because they need a quarterback. And NFL is a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have a quarterback that can lead your team, then you're pretty much playing for nothing on every Sunday. So they got to go get Caleb. I don't think Drake jumps higher than that, but Caleb right now is the best thing on the board for them.
I agree, and especially with the Bears retooling their offense with going out and signing DeAndre Swift, going and trading for Keenan Allen. They have DJ Moore on the team. Carson, who do you think is number one for Chicago?
Well, real quick before I say that, because it's going to be Caleb Williams, I just want to say I don't really understand what the Steelers are going for right now. I mean, I get that you have Russell Wilson and you have Justin Fields, and they're about on the same level, but they already said that Justin Fields isn't going to be competing for the starter position. So now you're going to have to pay him next year. But is he good enough to pay, you know? And, like, I think Justin Fields is good enough to start somewhere, you know? I would have really liked him on Atlanta. But, you know, he's got to have that structure around him that Pittsburgh just doesn't have. You know, they have George Pickens, who I really like. But then, like, their running game's not all that good. They don't really have anybody outside of George Pickens. So I don't really understand what they're going for unless they're going to trade Justin Fields to somewhere else. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, Justin Fields is a lot better than a lot of the quarterbacks in the field right now. So I think he deserves a starting spot somewhere. I'm just not quite sure where he's going to go. Keep going.
No, you're good. And to just clarify on Carson, the Steelers have a team option to give Justin Fields next year. It would be upwards of $25 million, which for a quarterback is still pretty cheap.
Still cheap, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think he's worth it.
Well, we don't know. That's the main problem because he was in Chicago. But I mean, again, I say it all the time. That's where quarterbacks go to die. Like, there are no good quarterbacks that have played in Chicago, excluding Jim McMahon and Sid Luckman in the 50s. So, like, other than that, their quarterbacks don't play well in Chicago. So I'll give them a mulligan for that. I think the Steelers are building for the future. Like, I think they grabbed Fields for little to nothing. And basically we're like, well, we're not going to find a six-round draft pick that's better than Justin Fields. That's basically how I look at it. So you put him on the bench for a year, let him learn behind Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson has a great year, fantastic. Then maybe you bring Russell back for a year. But if not, you turn it over to Justin Fields next year after you've had two drafts where you can get running back help, offensive line help, all these other things. Pittsburgh drafts wide receivers in like the fifth and sixth round, and they turn to Hines Ward or, you know, these wide receivers they've had for like 20 years. They're not first round picks. Like, they, I don't know what they're doing, but they always have a wide receiver. Deontay Johnson was like a fifth round pick before they just traded him to the Panthers. So I think they're building and they see the vision around them. Cleveland, you don't know how many games Deshaun Watson's going to give you, or if he's even the same version of Deshaun Watson that was in Houston. Baltimore is going to be Baltimore. They're good. And then Cincinnati gave away all their offense. They just kind of let them walk out the door in free agency mm-hmm. and through trades and stuff. So there's a situation here where Pittsburgh can take back this division if the quarterback hierarchy remains and actually works out for pennies. There's no risk.
Yeah. Especially when you think about teams that have to trade up for quarterbacks and they're giving up, oh, next year's first or next year's second. And Dez is raising his hand because Caroline did it last year. And that could still work out with Bryce Young, but like the amount of stuff Caroline had to give up, they're having to retool their offense and their defense right now to surround Bryce Young. They've done really well with putting a couple good offensive linemen in front of them too.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get to the Panthers tomorrow because the Panthers have done some they've done some stuff on free agency I wasn't expecting them to do. They've been pretty aggressive in rebuilding the roster. Nobody was really expecting that to happen. So they haven't won free agency, but they didn't lose it.
That might be a out-of-pocket take for tomorrow. We will be talking a lot of basketball, football, baseball season starting up. We'll talk some wrestling because WrestleMania season's on the way right here. A lot of good stuff happening in March. It truly is March Madness, but this is your short stop for your lunch break. And so here in the last segment, we're going to do something that we did last week. We had really good feedback on it, and that's called That Aged Well. We're going to shift real quick. We actually had Carson, Dez, and Peyton Burton from Everything College Basketball on Friday saying who they thought the number one seeds would be. And now we know who the number one seeds are. Number one seeds are UConn, Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina, despite, you know, a lot of these top seeds losing their conference tournament. I still think UConn, Houston, Purdue, and UNC are good for number one seeds, but not all of these guys can win the tourney. Not all of these guys can win all. Somebody's going to have to lose. Three of these teams are going to have to lose, and one of them's going to lose first. Sean, who do you think is the first one seed to fall and win?
Mike, this is a hard one right here because I've been working on my bracket all day today. Of course, UConn, they're playing the best basketball. I already got them going to the Final Four, so we can scratch them out. But my toss-up is between UNC and Purdue. Houston, I got them playing us at the Sweet 16. Duke, you know, like I told the guys earlier this morning, if we beat them and we get to the Elite Eight, we overachieve. If we lose at the Sweet 16, great season. But mine is either going to be Duke, either Purdue or UNC. Purdue has Kansas or either Gonzaga at the Sweet 16. UNC has Michigan State at the second round. So it's either going to be one of them two. I haven't made a decision. If I had to make one right now on the spot, I'll say Purdue.
And you did have to make one on the spot because it is out of pocket. And we'll see if that aged well. Carson, who's your first one seed to fall this week?
Honestly, I don't really know. I think UNC has the best chance to lose early, either first or second round, just because I don't think that their guard play is super duper consistent. And we saw it against North Carolina where RJ Davis shot 10 for 26, 4 from 13 for 3. Ingram shot, I think, 3 for 11. And then at the end of the day, Bacot, I really don't think is this dominant presence that he thinks he is. So I would think that they would have the best chance to fall out early. I would also say Houston, because I think if I looked at this right, they might be meeting up with Duke in the Sweet 16 if Duke makes it there. That could happen. I could be wrong about that. I may have done the bracket or looked at it wrong, but I would have to say it's either North Carolina. I would have to say North Carolina has the best chance of losing to a low seed.
It's good you clarified on North Carolina because I was going to make you pick one. Dez, who do you think is the first one seed to fall?
First of all, I think it's cute that you guys think you can beat Houston because I don't see that happening. If Duke even gets there, Houston's way better than Duke in terms of defensively and just
for sure
more experience. So if Duke beat Houston, then that's the game you needed to change your whole season around. But I don't think that's going to happen. I've been going back and forth between Purdue and surprisingly UConn because although UConn's played the best ball up to this point for the entire season, and I've seen them up close when they played Carolina earlier this year, and they're the one team I don't want to run back into again because they just were a better team. Two stats stand out to me with Purdue. The past 3 or 4 years, they have been put out by double digit seeds early in the tournament. And if you remember, was it last year? They were a one seed and lost to a 16. So they're not as invincible as people think them out to be. As for UConn, I heard a stat where the past 4 or 5 defending national champions that have received one seeds the following year have not made it to the Sweet 16. So looking at that and the fact that UConn, I don't know why the committee did this, the Big 12 champ, the Big 10 champ, and the SEC champ are all in the same region with UConn, not to mention Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, who were in the Final Four last year with UConn. They're all in the East. So UConn's supposed to be the overall one seed. They're supposed to have the easiest region, but by far they have the hardest region to get through. I'm leaning towards UConn, to be honest, because that's the one that's going to mess up the entire country's brackets is if UConn gets out early, and that seems to happen every year. It was Purdue last year that messed up everybody's bracket. I'm going to go with UConn.
I totally agree with Dez. I was between UConn and Purdue for the same reasons. Like, you never see a defending champ go back-to-back with men's tournaments. Like, it just is super rare. It doesn't happen. It's about as rare as Major League Baseball. And the last time that happened was, like, the Yankees at the start of the century. My pick, and I've liked this team. I've loved watching Zach Edey, but I think it's Purdue, especially when you talk about them meeting either Utah State or TCU in the round of 32. Or if they get by that, they're either meeting Gonzaga or Kansas. I just feel like it's a tougher matchup there in the Sweet 16. And unfortunately, I think Purdue's going to be an early exit. But speaking of exits, we got to get out of here on Tobacco Road Sports Radio. This has been Out of Pocket with Michael Davis. Sean Lucas, go check his stuff out with the Grit and Grind High School Football Podcast. Go check out Desmond Johnson, all the stuff he's doing on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio YouTube channel, doing all the stuff locally around the triad with high school sports. And Carson Williams, he and I building our broadcasting career from App State University, who should be in this NCAA tournament. Yep. But until next time, We will be back for your lunch break, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So join us live, and everyone have a great afternoon. It's been Out of Pocket.